But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Now, why was the problem about going to Jerusalem? He was in a city of the Samaritans. So they said, look, that kind of disqualifies you here. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. Now, Jesus is getting ready, okay? He's heading toward Jerusalem, and this is the time that all things are going to be fulfilled. And he's focused, okay? He's focused. You have James and John, which were... Well, they're a lot like Peter in this, and that they're pretty fiery, okay? They're pretty fiery. And what they wanted to do was deal with this issue that was going on right here. But Jesus says, no. He says, cool, slow you roll, and all those things that are said. But he said, it's time to move on. And that's what's happening when we get into chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. How many did he send out? Question one. 72. And how did he send them out? Two by two. Now, why do you think he sent them in pairs? For what? For support. Because what did he tell them? He says, look, you're going to get out there and you're going to be lambs among wolves. Okay? In other words, get ready to get devoured. Now, question two says, Jesus compared the preaching of the gospel to a harvest. For what did he tell his disciples to pray? For workers, laborers. He said, the Lord's harvest is coming. And he said, the workers are few. And he said, it's time to get out there. Now, we're not too many days removed from this incident that occurred in this Samaritan village. And those that were with him and those that had observed all these things, you've got to believe that they're a little bit on edge. Okay? Now, Jesus is the only one in the group. The only one in the group that really understood what was about to happen. And he was the only one that really understood the fact that this lambs among the wolves thing is just the way it's going to be. And I, you know, I thought about it a little bit as I read through this. And, you know, it's kind of like a test run for them. It really was. Now, what he was having them do, he was having them kind of scout out ahead. What's going on? What's the lay of the land? What, you know, who's with us and who's against us? He didn't need to ask them. You know, he knew what was there, and he knew all the things that were going to happen. But he wanted them to go out, and he said you go out there. Now, he gave specific instructions to them. What did he tell them not to carry? Basically, anything personal, you know. He said, don't carry your money. Don't carry your sandals. Don't carry a bag. Just go. Now, how many of you go on a trip and don't carry anything with you? Have you ever done that? I haven't. We go on overnight, you know, and you've got to hook the trailer on, you know. I mean, you've got the overnight bag, and you've got the suitcase, and then you've got the shoe bag, and then you've got, you know, all the different things, and you go out. And if I was to leave everything home, especially my money, I'd be kind of concerned a little bit, okay? Because I don't know. Now, I've watched Rodney now. That boy likes to eat, okay? And he's a good eater, as my grandmother used to say. But I'd be worried about meals, Larry. You know? I'd be worried about meals. And what's this no sandals business? You know, I'm not a barefoot guy. I mean, I'm barefooted long enough each day to get out of bed and get to my house shoes. And that's about the only time I'm bare. I just don't like to go barefoot, you know. But no sandals. But he also told them not to do what? Not to talk to people. Don't. When you're on the road and you're going from place to place, he said don't stop and talk to people. Don't greet them. Don't salute them, some versions say. And why did he want them to do that? He had a job for him. You're to go into this place, right? And you're supposed to do whatever I tell you to do. So don't delay. You know. Some of y'all may not know this, but some of y'all are talkers. Okay? And if you say hello before you leave, you're going to know their history and everything else, okay? You know, just talkers. And Jesus said, that's not what I want. He says, stay focused and go on your journey, okay? Now, let's go back to the text in verse 5. It says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Okay. 4B, when invited into a home, what were they to say? Peace to this house. And what were they going to hear as a response? Hopefully. It says, if someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will be returned to you. Okay? So you can tell. You can tell what's going on. And how long are... See what's D. Remain in that house eating and drinking for what? The laborer, the worker, is worthy of their hire. Okay? Now, they're going out, they're totally dependent on whatever they get into. Okay? They're not going to stop and do a little day job to pick up a few coins to be able to buy some food. They're just going to move from place to place. Okay? Now look at verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. So when they get there, and you're welcome, what are they to do? Eat whatever is offered. Eat whatever is offered. Now, are you a picky eater? Okay. I'm not either. You just eat, take it, and go with it, and just do what's there. And he says, while you're there, 4F, he says, heal the sick and say the kingdom of God is come nigh you, or it has come near you. Now, heal the sick. What does that tell you that Jesus has given them? The power of healing. Okay? Now, Jesus didn't just give that to anybody, did he? Okay, these were people that were faithful to him. They were those that were with him seeking the truth. They had been taught by the master, at the master's feet, literally. And they had been given the power to heal the sick and to tell them that the kingdom is near. Now, what's the purpose of healing the sick? That's what Jesus came for. They were the messenger. Not only orally what they said, but they were a living example of what Jesus was to do. Now, you can call it an attention getter, which it was. But if I'm sitting here and somebody does something miraculous like that, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to listen to them. I'm going to pay attention to what they're saying. Okay? I'm going to pay attention to them. 4G, it says, if you're not received, wipe off the dust of that city which cleaves to you or clings to your shoes. Just dust it off and don't go. You know, move along. But Jesus says, and this is in question 5, said it shall be more tolerable in that day, the judgment day, for what wicked city than the city which rejects his disciples? Sodom. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Now, let's look at the second part of this, and then let's talk about the whole thing. Number 6 says, Jesus pronounced woe upon what two cities? And what two cities were those? Chorazin and Bethsaida. Okay? But he said it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment. And then what did he say? Number 7, what did he say about Capernaum? He said what? He said, do you believe that you're going to be lifted up to heaven? And he says, no. He says, no, you will go down to Hades, he said. Now think about all those cities. What do you remember about Sodom? That was an evil place. You had Lot and his family. And remember, they were told, get out of this place. I'm destroying this city. And he told them not to do what whenever they left? He said, don't look back. Because this city is going to be no more. Lot went. His wife had to take one last look. And what happened? She was turned to a pillar of salt. So did God have fond memories of Sodom? No. Yet he says it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for the town that rejected me. For the town that rejected me. And then he starts talking about, woe to you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, then what? They will be better off on the day of judgment. Now, then he goes on and starts talking about Capernaum. And he says, look, he says, you think you're going to heaven. He said, don't plan on it. You know, don't book your passage just yet because it's not going to happen. Now, what's significant about Capernaum? They had many opportunities. He was there in that one city for probably as long as he was in any one city. But also, after he left the wilderness, having experienced the temptations, the first place he went to was Capernaum. And they weren't real receptive. And by his presence there, as he began his ministry, that city was exalted. It was lifted up. It had a special place, but the people rejected him. And then he talks about Chorazin and Bethsaida. They saw the miracles of Jesus, but they rejected it. And then he says, Tyre and Sidon, he said, are going to be better off, more tolerated, because he said, if they had seen those same miracles, they would have repented by now. See, those two cities were Gentile cities. They were heathen cities. True heathen in the most base definition of the word. That they did not, they believed in a polytheistic setting, the sacrifices to all of them. But Jesus said, if they had seen the same things you saw, that they would have repented. They would have turned around. They would have U-turned. You know, I hate to keep, it seemed like everything that I'm dealing with here the last few weeks, it keeps going back to this whole idea that you've got these people that of all people should know who Jesus is because they've been prepped for him their entire life. They knew the scriptures as taught to them, and that's the key word. Kevin on Sunday mornings has been in Galatians, and that's the theme as you go through there. You've got those that have perverted what God has said and changed it and adapted it to meet their needs, so that the end result was they were blinding the people to what they should easily be able to see for their benefit, you know. Jesus wanted to benefit them, but they wouldn't accept that. They would not accept that. Now, let's go to verse 16. And this seems to be a common theme that I've had in various studies over the last few weeks. It says, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me, but whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. So Jesus, this is number 8, Jesus told the disciples, he that heareth you hears me. That means they listen, okay? And we talked about that Wednesday night, the difference between just hearing the words and listening to the message and understanding the message. And he that despises, another word for that is who rejects you, rejects me. And in so doing, he that despises me or rejects me is rejecting who? They're rejecting God. The very God that created them went through this long process to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah, the one that they were anxiously awaiting. And when he appears to them, what do? They turn their backs. They reject. They reject. Does God get disappointed? You don't think about it. I get disappointed. I have an expectation that one thing's going to happen and something else happens and I get down about it. Anybody else do that? Does God do that? Are we a disappointment to God sometimes? Absolutely. And here he's got basically a whole nation of people that he has used as a vehicle to deliver the Messiah to the world, and they reject the one that he sends. That's sad. That's sad. It really is. Now look at verse 17. Let's look at 17 and 18. It says, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. It's not the power, it's the gift. It's not the power, it's the gift. B1, how did the 70 return? They were joyous. They were joyous. And what did they report? The demons submitted to us in your name. And that's another one of those passages that I read, and you think about it. I think of Moses when they were about to get to the promised land. They were getting to the end of their journey. And he had led them all that time. And he had been battling rebellion within his own group and people that were turning their back on God. And he got up on top of the mountain. Did he make the final trip in? Why not? That stick. And what did he say? I gave you water. It's pretty clear when you read in here, it says, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. What if they had stopped and just said, Lord, the demons submit to us? Would he have made the same statement? No. Because what did they do when they said, the demons submit in your name, what were they saying? They were recognizing his power, his authority, and they were giving the glory to Jesus. The demons know. The demons know. I'd like to have Jesus for a substitute teacher about 3 days, you know. I could go back into class and I'd never have another problem. You know, even the demons will submit. No, I'm sorry. That was tacky. I apologize for that. If you've ever been in a classroom, you know what I'm saying, don't you? Don't you? Now, what is B2? It says, what did Jesus see? He says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Fall like lightning. Huh? He was defeated. He was defeated. Now, you say, well, how can he be defeated if he's still around? Well, you got to finish the ball game. Okay? If you're playing football and at halftime, if you're down 40 points, you just guys, okay, guys, let's get on the bus and take off and go. You want to, maybe, but you don't do that, okay? Satan's still in the game because there's still people. Remember the laborers? They are few, and there's a harvest to be made. Satan's still trying to glean what he can. In other words, he's not laying over, but he's defeated. He's defeated. Jesus' power has been demonstrated beyond doubt, if there ever was any, beyond doubt, that it is superior. Now, question number 3. What authority did Jesus give to the 20, to the 70, 72? He says you can trample on what? Snakes and scorpions. And he said, don't worry about it. No harm is going to come to you. So when he sent them out with no shoes, with no money, with no food, no anything, guess what? They were taken care of. And they knew that. And they went out. They were assured that the harm was not going to come to them. And what did Jesus say? You're to rejoice because your name, this is question number four, their name is written in heaven. You are my people. You are my disciple. Now let's read 21 through 24. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. In part C, question one, Jesus thanked his Father for hiding these things, the truths that were taught by Jesus from the wise and the learned. Number two, to whom had the Father revealed these things? And he said, those like little children. Now, what separates those like little children and the wise and the learned? They what?
Open heart.
The wise and learned, the pontificators, the ones that's going to override whatever they hear, they're going to say, yes, but. And they're going to debate it and carry on. Their hearts weren't open. They already knew in their mind, and you can't teach me anything. Number three, the Father knows who the Son is, and the Son knows who the Father is, and we know the Father by the things revealed to us by the Son. Number four, Jesus blessed the eyes of the disciples for the things they saw, and that's the truths that they accepted and believed. And who had desired to see and hear these things, the things that the disciples saw and heard, but many prophets and kings. That's the wise and the learned. And Jesus is telling them, look, they weren't ready. Their hearts were not there, and they were not able. Now, I thought as I was reading through this, that thing about the little children, and I thought about in 1 John 2, in the first verse, John writes this. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And I got to thinking how many times in Scripture Jesus himself referred to the children. Sometimes he was talking about a literal child, but a lot of time he was talking about those who had the heart of the child that was open and impressionable and willing to receive what he had to offer and what he gave. And it bears true with us today. We think we're mature, and in many ways we are. And we think that we're not babes anymore, that we're not little children. But Jesus says that's what we need to be, because we are a child of God. And that's the basis for the invitation today. for us to look within ourselves and truly think about who we are. Are we the child that's still receiving the message that God wants us to hear, that Jesus lived and died for and is given to us? The water's ready for those who have reached a point that they realize that they need to be submersed in that water to rise as a new creation. It's a great time to reclaim your godly childlike nature by repenting of sin. It's a time for you just to renew your soul, to seek the prayers of people that love you and care about you, to lift you up in prayer to the Father. Whatever you need, would you take care of it tonight as we stand and as we sing?
Cross your broken life, so marred by sin,
as only to hide in.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again your empty, wasted years.
Closing song. If you were unable to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it has been left prepared, and you'll be helped with that right there in the foyer in the room just to the rear as we sing 989 together.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King, hallelujah. No more crying there. We are going to see the King, hallelujah. No more crying there. We are going to see the King, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the King.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.
sick, those among our number that are going through tests and different things, be able to have them in change. Those others that are among our number that are going through some sickness. Thank you for watching over us. Keep us safe and bring us back to the next point in time. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother.